Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On today's episode, we're continuing our 10-part series on the top 10 problems with biological and chemical evolution. In this episode, we're going to discuss how neo-Darwinism struggles to explain the biogeographical distribution of many species. And again, this is taken from a chapter published in the book More Than Myth, published by Charbel Press in 2014. Biogeography is the study of the distribution of organisms in time and space, both in the present and the past on Earth. It is often contended that biogeography strongly supports neo-Darwinian theory. For example, the National Center for Science Education, or NCSE, a pro-Darwin advocacy group, claims that, quote, consistency between biogeographic and evolutionary patterns provides important evidence about the continuity of the processes driving the evolution and diversification of life, and this, quote, continuity is what would be expected of a pattern of common descent, unquote. However, the NCSE dramatically overstates its case and ignores the many instances where biogeography does not show the sort of continuity that would be expected under a pattern of common descent. Evolutionary explanations of biogeography fail when terrestrial or freshwater organisms appear in a location, such as an island or a continent, where there is no standard migratory mechanism for them to have arrived there from some ancestral population. In other words, when we find two populations of organisms, Darwinian evolution claims that if we go back far enough, they must be linked by common descent. But sometimes it's virtually impossible to explain how these populations could have arrived at their respective geographical locations on the globe from some ancestral population. For example, one of the most severe biogeographical puzzles for Darwinian theory is the origin of South American monkeys called platyrrhines. Based upon molecular and morphological evidence, New World platyrrhine monkeys are thought to be descended from Old World African or catarrhine monkeys. The fossil record shows that monkeys have lived in South America for about the past 30 million years. But plate tectonic history shows that Africa and South America split off from one another between 100 and 120 million years ago, and that South America was an isolated island continent from about 80 million years ago until just about 3.5 million years ago. If South American monkeys are descended from African monkeys and they arrived in South America around 30 million years ago, proponents of neo-Darwinism must somehow account for how they crossed hundreds, if not thousands, of kilometers of open ocean to end up in South America. This problem for evolutionary biology has been recognized by many experts. A HarperCollins textbook on human evolution states, quote, "The origin of platyrrhine monkeys puzzled paleontologists for decades. When and how did the monkeys get to South America?" Primatologists John Flegel and Christopher Gilbert put it this way in a scientific volume on primate origins, stating, quote, "The most biogeographically challenging aspect of platyrrhine evolution concerns the origin of the entire clade. South America was an island continent throughout most of the tertiary, and paleontologists had debated for much of the century how and where primates reached South America." Primate specialist Walter Carl Hartwig is similarly blunt, stating, quote, "The platyrrhine origins issue incorporates several different questions. How did platyrrhines get to South America? Such vexing questions certainly don't lend credence to the NCSE's claim of consistency between biogeographic and evolutionary patterns." For those unfamiliar with the sort of arguments made by neo-Darwinian biogeographers, responses to these puzzles can be almost too incredible to believe. A HarperCollins textbook explains, "The rafting hypothesis argues that monkeys evolved from prosimians once and only once in Africa and made the waterlogged trip to South America," unquote. And of course, there can't just be one seafaring monkey, or the monkey will soon die, leaving no offspring. Thus, at least two monkeys, or perhaps a single pregnant monkey, must have made the rafting voyage. Flegel and Gilbert observed that the rafting hypothesis raises a difficult biogeographical issue because, quote, "South America is separated from Africa by a distance of at least 2,600 kilometers, making a phylogenetic and biogeographic link between the primate faunas of the two continents seem very unlikely," unquote. But they are wedded to an evolutionary paradigm, meaning that they are obligated to find such a link, whether or not it is likely. They argue that in light of the, quote, "absence of any anthropoids from North America, combined with a considerable morphological evidence of a South African-African connection with the rodent and primate faunas," unquote, that therefore, quote, "the rafting hypothesis is the most likely scenario for the biogeographic origin of the platyrrhines," unquote. In other words, the unlikely rafting hypothesis is made likely only because we know the common ascent must be true. Indeed, the rafting hypothesis faces serious problems, as mammals like monkeys have high metabolisms and require large amounts of food and water. Flegel and Gilbert thus admit that, quote, overwater dispersal during primate evolution seems truly amazing for a mammalian order, and conclude, quote, the reasons for the prevalence of rafting during the course of primate evolution remain to be explained, unquote. Or as Hartwig puts it, quote, the overwhelming evidence for the late Cretaceous Pliocene isolation of South America renders the mechanical aspect of platyrrhine dispersal virtually irresolvable. For, quote, any late Eocene origins model must invoke a transoceanic crossing mechanism that is implausible, rafting, or suspect at best, unquote. There are deeper problems, however. Monkeys apparently made the journey from Africa to South America, but other smaller African primates never colonized the New World. If it was so easy for monkeys to raft across the proto-Atlantic Ocean, why didn't these lower primates also make the voyage? The reason we're given by Flegel and Gilbert is that there is no reason, and it all comes down to sheer chance. In their own words, rafting is clearly, quote, a chance event, and, quote, one can only speculate that by a stroke of good luck, anthropoids were able to win the sweepstakes while lorises and galagos did not, unquote. This is not the only case that appeals to rafting or other speculative mechanisms of what they call oceanic dispersal to explain away biogeographical conundrums that challenge neo-Darwinism. Other examples include the presence of lizards and large caviomorph rodents in South America, the arrival of bees, lemurs, and other mammals in Madagascar, the appearance of elephant fossils on islands, the appearance of freshwater frogs across isolated oceanic islands, and numerous similar examples. This problem also exists for extinct species. A 2000 review in the journal Trends in Ecology and Evolution explains the problem, stating, quote, a classic problem in biogeography is to explain why particular terrestrial and freshwater taxa have geographical distributions that are broken up by oceans. Why are southern beaches found in Australia, New Zealand, New Guinea, and South America? Why are there iguanas on the Fiji Islands where all their close relatives are in the New World? Unquote. After reviewing a number of unexpected biogeographical examples that require oceanic dispersal, the review concludes, quote, these cases reinforce a general message of the great evolutionist Darwin, given enough time, many things that seem unlikely can happen, unquote. Thus, neo-Darwinian evolutionists are forced to appeal to unlikely or unexpected migration of organisms, in some cases requiring the crossing of oceans to account for the biogeographical data. This kind of data may not necessarily absolutely falsify Darwinism, but at least it challenges the simplistic argument that biogeography supports universal common descent through congruence between migration pathways and evolutionary history. In many cases, the congruence simply is not there. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for the next episode where we'll talk about neo-Darwinism and junk DNA. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.